And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. Y'all see that? Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. I like this. He is not here. Woo! For he is risen. He ain't there. So he could come in here, say amen. For he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear. Now he told them, fear not. The Bible said they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Look at that. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and shewed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. They took the money and did as they were taught. This saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. And then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. It's what amazes me. They saw the resurrected Lord. And some of them worshiped. Then in verse 17 says, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You can be seated. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. And before we read the last word of the chapter, before we say that last word, we want to come to the throne room of grace and, Lord, seek your face. And, Lord, we ask for mercy, Lord, and then for grace to help in this hour and time of need. Lord, if I can't preach in the power, I don't want to preach at all. So help me to preach, not with excellency of speech or enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and in power. We pray, Lord, that you'd help me to mind you. Help me, Lord, to be filled with the Holy Ghost afresh and anoint the words these lips of clay will produce, and let them find a lodging place. Let the seed of the word of God bring forth life in the sinner and stir the hearts of saints when we reminisce and remember and recollect the resurrection this morning. Lord, I sure am grateful to be able to preach on Resurrection Sunday about this great truth. Help me now, I pray. Lord, we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, we thank you and pray and say the last word of the chapter, and all God's people say it. Amen. Notice with me in the text, the Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath. I want to preach on a thought this morning, but before I preach on this thought, I'd like to walk through the text and just point out a few things that it's worth shouting about. Notice it said, in the end of the Sabbath. Woo! Old Testament theology has been fulfilled and the person of Christ. Old Testament sacrifices are now complete. No more Passovers have to be offered. No more Sabbath day to be kept. It is the end of the Sabbath. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, we meet together on Sunday morning because it's the day of resurrection. It is the resurrection that brings eternal life. Does it not say in the gospel of God, as it's called, that book of Romans, does it not say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved? So on the basis and the ground of the finished work of Calvary, the third day resurrection, based upon that resurrection, thou shalt be saved. Can anybody in the house give me a good amen right here? It is based on the fact that he paid my debt and removed my sin as far as the east from the west. That's why I can stand today. Woo! Not because my background, not because of the sins of my past, but I can stand today a new creature in Christ because of the resurrection. If all we had was faith in a simple death at Calvary and there had been no resurrection, we would still be in our sin. Our preaching would be in vain. Our faith would be in vain. But today, thank God, he did get up, and we celebrate in the end of the Sabbath as it began to dawn. In other words, a new day's dawning. Can I say today, we resurrected Christians are what we are because of this resurrection. I want to preach today for a little while on this thought, three gardens. Now, I don't have time. The taters and the hams weighing on some people. I'd like to preach on all three gardens. Woo! Can somebody say, preach on, preacher? There's a portion in the scripture. There's three gardens that are referred to or at least acknowledged that they are his. The first garden of God, he put a man that he had made from dust. That's shouting country. He didn't make him from clay. You can sell topsoil. You can sell field dirt. It's all worth something. But he made man from dust, what nobody wants. Woo! I'm glad God can make something out of nothing. He stepped out on nothing, grabbed nothing, and made everything. And then the prime of creation from the dust, when dust met deity, here come man. Whoa! Ain't God good? And he made man, and he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Now, no other thing that he made did he breathe into its nostrils, and he became a living soul. But he did that for man, and he loved man. And what a picture he pictured. Put him in the garden. Said, you got one job. Just take care of the garden. Don't have no thorns. Ain't got no weeds. All that's a result of sin. How he's perfect place, perfect environment, and God don't even like the heat. And so he waited till the air conditioning turned on. And in the cool of the day, he come in fellowship with Adam and Eve. I said, my wife said amen right there. Hallelujah. And Miss Brother Kenley, I thought about this, brother. When he laid him down, he named all of them animals. God brought them all. Why is a fox a fox? Because Adam called him out. Don't try to tell me some scientist came over. A fox is a fox because it would be crazy to call it a cat. Who did that? I mean, God let the first man name everything. Gave him dominion over everything on the earth. That's right. But he said it's not good for man to be alone. And so God put Adam to sleep. Yes, sir. And from Adam's side came Adam's bride.
I'm glad he was the first Adam, but there's going to be a last Adam. And his side's going to be riven. Woo! And a bride's going to be, I'm about to have a Sunday morning feel. I'm glad, thank God, because my Lord's side was riven at Calvary. Hey, I'm a part of the bride. I say amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Nobody can come be a part of the bride except what the Father gave.
That's right.
I'm glad a bride was given when his side was riven. And so we have a garden of God. It's a place of innocence. But they sinned, brother. And oh my, when they sinned, an innocent animal had to die. A lamb died. Blood was shed. It wasn't nothing that animal did. He was innocent. But he died so that Adam wouldn't have to die right then. And God painted the picture. It ain't no wonder going up one side of the mountain with the wood on his back and fire in his hand. And he looked over at Daddy Abraham. And Isaac said, Lord, we got the wood. And we got the fire. The horse of sacrifice. He said, God shall provide himself a lamb.
Yes. You're right.
And the horns is the strongest power and the part. You know what that ram did? He just said, I'm going to stick my head in the thorns and I'm going to wait on y'all to come get. I'm going to yield my life to you. And that ram, he placed Isaac on the altar and the Lord said, hold up. Hey, just like you was willing to do for my benefit, I'm willing to do for every dirty, rotten sinner. I'm ready for do for every drug dealer, every drug taker, every doper. I'm going to provide myself not just a band lamb, but I'm going to provide myself a lamb. I'm going to be your lamb, the Lamb of God that was foreordained before the foundation of the world. I believe God made that lamb just like Jesus for a purpose. Are y'all with me? Ain't no wonder. It was a garden of innocence, but man sinned. And ain't no wonder God let that lamb die in their stead. Now, I don't have time to stay there, but there's another garden. Brother Jeremy, it's called the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a garden of sorrows. Nobody could go to that garden. Just like nobody could claim that first garden except God. Hey, hallelujah. Woo! My God. Anybody in here farm, lift your hand. Anybody in here plant a garden? All right. Wouldn't you be tickled to death if you didn't have to worry about thorns?
Oh, yeah.
One day, we're going to go to a place where there's roses with no thorns on them. Woo! But until then, it's a reminder that though there's a curse, he became a curse for us.
Right.
I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother, there was a garden of innocence, but because man sinned, there's a garden of sorrows. And Jesus goes in that garden. The Bible said he begins to pray until his sweat became droplets of blood. And the Bible said at the pressure of all of sin and everything was weighing on him, he began to pray until the very sweat gland. Now, we could sit here and give you a scientific explanation, but just know that the sorrow and the pressure and all the anxiousness that was being placed upon him, for he who knew no sin became sin for us who are sinful, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He had to fully take our place. He had to satisfy the wrath of God, the holiness of God, the justice of God, to dispense the love of God. The holiness of God demanded perfection, and what God's holiness demanded, his love was going to accomplish in giving his only son. And at that moment, the very capillaries in his arms began to rupture from the spiritual and the physical and the mental anguish of not just your sin, but my sin and the world's sin. And in that Garden of Gethsemane, he just asked his people to watch and pray, and everybody fell asleep. Boy, I'd like to stay there. But I want to get over here today to the last garden. It's what I like to call
the garden of joy. Woo! Let me give you a picture. In this garden, there's an empty tomb. Now, there's something good about getting empty. When you're lost and you get empty. See, when I was lost and going to the parties, and I hate to say it, I running into Rodney and a lot of us in here, and we was in the same crowd. Brother, we go to that, we try to fill in that hole inside of us. We try to fill it with Miller Lowlife and Bud Dummer. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. Tried to fill it with every kind of pleasure of sinful humanity, and it nothing. I mean, it bring temporary pleasure, but when nothing brings satisfaction. You'd lay in the bed and hate your life, but didn't know nothing else. Get around with the same crowd, go right back to it. But you hated it, but you didn't want to admit it to nobody. But one day, when you finally just told somebody, shut up, leave me alone, I'll go to church, just quit asking me and bugging me, and you get there and you didn't come to get saved, but they somebody knew you was coming before the foundation of the world, and he set up an Holy Ghost ambush, and he dealt with you, and he brought you, and he filled that empty place that nothing else could fill. I say hallelujah for the day I got empty. Now, an empty man has to cry out, fallen. He has to cry, fallen. You can't straighten up. I tell that crowd, when you're as bad as I was, and I don't like to brag on it, and I don't brag on it, I'm not going to tell you details. But when you can drink a suitcase and not get drunk, you got a problem. And when it's on your nightstand in the shower, you got a problem. And you just a drunk. You ain't an alcoholic, you a drunk. And there's a disease brought about by sin, but you a drunk. And 7 steps and 3 steps and 12 steps ain't gonna help you. And reforming ain't gonna help you. Hey, that's right. You can put on a clean suit, douse yourself with cologne, and try to get the redness out of your eyes and buy stock in Visine. But when it's all said and done, you'll go right to the same gutter and right to the same mess, and you're the same man in that cleaned up suit. But if the Holy God of heaven ever comes by where you at, he'll put a new man in that suit. He'll change you from the inside out. I say amen. He'll just kick the devil out, throw sin out the door, and step in and fill up every empty place in you. The empty man has to cry fallen. He has to admit, I'm lost. He has to admit, I can't fix it. The empty man cries fallen. The empty cross cries forgiven. I'm glad we ain't Catholics. We don't crucify him every Sunday. In case y'all take a deep breath, it's all right. He's not on the cross. No, sir. I don't wear a crucifix. No, sir. No, sir. I'm not. No, sir. I'm not that. No. You know what? The cross is empty. Yeah, I mean, he's already been nailed. Having spoiled principalities and powers. That's that resurrection Sunday. But before that, all my offenses and everything that I'd offended, and it didn't matter if I just offended in one curse word or one lie, because the Bible said in James, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all of them. You're just as bad as the murderer, and I hate to say this, the homosexual, you're just as bad. I mean, if you sin in one point, you're guilty of all. Is everybody okay? All right, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. Don't matter how good you think you are, how much you've cleaned up, how many times you've been baptized, how much money you've gave to the church, how many times you signed your name, how many times you shook the preacher's hand. Ain't none of that gonna make no difference. Ain't none of that gonna help you. You gotta trust in the finished work of Calvary and the death, burial, and resurrection. You have to admit he ain't on the cross, but he did go to the cross. And he nailed our offenses to the cross. I say amen. Woo! Hey.
Amen, that's
the tradition in that day was when a man had a debt and he couldn't pay it, in the center of the market, there was a post that stood up. Yeah. And sometimes when a man got behind, they'd post his debt for everybody to see. Yeah, but it wasn't on that post. No, that post was reserved for one thing. Yes, sir. And when you had a debt you couldn't pay, and somebody came up and paid it, and you didn't know nothing about it, and you couldn't earn it, and you didn't deserve it.
Amen.
It was your debt, and you had to pay it.
Yeah.
But if somebody paid your debt,
yeah,
they would take it to that center pole,
yeah,
nail it to the pole, and they put a Greek word on it, which simply means this: paid in full.
Amen.
Hey, that's what he said in Colossians 2. Hey, took my offenses and nailed them to the cross. Everything I ever did, good or bad, he nailed it to the cross. Hey, and then buried, and then rose the third day like the sun that rose up. He beat the sun. For the sun ever rose, the S-O-N had already come out of the grave. Oh, yes. Amen. Why, it was a great way dark. The sun came out of the grave. Now, I don't know how it happened. Tradition says, who knows, that it was when it was sealed that the ropes busted and the stone was blowed away from the hole. I don't know about that. I know what the Bible says.
Yeah.
The Bible said it was rolled away.
Yeah.
And there's a little angel sitting on top of it.
Yeah.
And he told Mary and him, fear not.
Right.
Now, you can talk about fear not all you want. I'm preaching on this thought now, this three gardens. But this garden of joy has an after effect, which means fear not, he is not here. That's the first message they said.
That's right.
There's people in this building that's fearful of dying.
There's
people in this building that is fearful of God taking their life.
Right.
When they even get the slightest sickness, I know people,
yep,
they scared to death they're not going to see the next year.
Right.
I mean, they're fearful of death. I'm going to tell you, you can't threaten me with heaven.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you just can't threaten me with heaven.
Amen.
You just can't. I'd like to stay around for my family, but it's going to be hard for you. You're going to have a hard time,
yeah,
pressing me,
right,
threatening me with heaven.
Amen.
I'm going to shoot you and blow your brains out and put you in the presence of God forevermore. We'll never have to deal with sin, Satan, in your flesh.
Yeah.
Boy, you're having a hard time scaring me. You're going to have a hard time. I mean, I'm fixing to make you absent from this body and in his presence forever, where you'll see all your loved ones and the five kids that your wife miscarried and you weren't able to see. You're going to have a real hard problem scaring me. I tell you what, and it's going to be like you ain't there hardly at all, because 1,000 years up there, it's like one day down here, and your wife will get there before you get out of the first second. It's going to be hard for you to miss me. Are y'all following me? Oh, great God in heaven, I'm telling you, you'll not have any fear in this life or in the one to come. The angel told him, this is a garden of joy. There's no sorrow here. There's no innocence here, but there is forgiveness here. An empty cross cries forgiveness, but an empty tomb cries freedom. Now, an empty man's got to cry falling. You're going to have to admit it. Empty cross cries forgiveness. Yes, sir. He died once to pay the sin debt. But an empty tomb cries freedom. When Lazarus came out of the grave, Jesus stood at the grave where he'd been dead and buried for 4 days. They said, if you roll the stone away, you're going to smell something. He stinks now. See, in Jewish history, they believe the body hovered around the grave for 3 days. First of all, I'm going to tell all you young people, that's a lie from hell. All right? But anyhow, they said that's what they thought. They hovered. So when the fourth day come, it's done. I mean, it's like having a bombing fluid run through. It's done. There ain't no resurrection. It ain't going to happen. They've been embalmed, wrapped in swaddling clothes.
I mean, he came into this world picturing himself going to die and be buried. Raised.
Are you? You're right.
Somebody run for me. I got. Listen. Woo! I need a pitch runner. Would you help me, Brother John? Listen, Brother Jeremy. This thing's getting big. So I was thinking the other day. If everything that we believe took place like we think it took place, and we really don't know. But I just wonder in my mind, brother, when it gets down yonder to Lazarus' tomb, and they said, don't roll away, but now he stinks. See, Martha loved her brother and had faith in Jesus, but her faith and her hopes run out. Some of you are fearful because your faith and your hope has run out. And you may have hope that somebody gets saved, but you're fearful now because hope's run out. Can I tell you that an empty tomb is a forever seal of assurance that there is infinite hope available for every sinner? Don't never give up. Don't have no fear. Hey, as long as they're alive, I can tell you he's alive and he can deal with them and save our soul. There's hope. Don't be fearful. All right, the devil wants to keep you in fear, but he ain't give you the spirit of fear and the power and the love and the sound mind. Am I right?
That's right, amen. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Brother, he's, by now he stinks. But I just wonder. He said, take a stone away. Now, y'all stay with me. Y'all know that Jesus said, if you got faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can tell Hogback Mountain to go to jumping Lake Adger. Are y'all following me?
I mean,
put yourself in Lake Bowen. Are y'all? If you got faith, it's a grain of mustard. So y'all believe Jesus had that faith.
Oh, yeah.
And he could have told, he could have rolled the stone away with a word, with a thought. But he didn't put it there. They put it there. And here's the problem. We've got stones of unbelief and fear and lost hope that stand up between the Savior and our loved one, and we've put them there. And all we got to do is, great God, roll it away. Woo! The Lord's there to do a miracle, but you've rolled the stone in the way. Standing between your loved one and Jesus is a stone of fear and unbelief and lost hope. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Now, the stone is what the law is written on. And he is the personification of grace. And you can't mix grace and law. The law has been fulfilled. And it's going to have to be rolled away so grace can have its good God. Hey, law binds you up, but grace sets you free. An empty tomb cries, freedom! I'm no longer bound by drugs and alcohol. I'm no longer bound by the sinful life. I'm a new creature. I've been set free.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Now, then he said, Lazarus. Now, he showed us in his life what he was going to do in his death. Am I right? Three times. City of Nahin, the young man. Jairus' daughter, the young girl, and now the adult, Lazarus. Are y'all with me? And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. I heard people say, if he hadn't said Lazarus, that was a community burial. Everybody got up. Might so, but I know this. That day he came to me. I remember I took the earring out of my ear because I had respect for Mama, Papa. And I remember I'm going to go to church because I know this woman really loves me. And I've been raised in dead churches all my life. I'm from a young boy. I thought Wednesday night youth meeting was when you went and met girls and held hands.
Amen.
I didn't know. Amen, preacher. I'm just telling you the truth. It's when we tore up everything. I was wicked.
Right.
Them little old people, he's so sweet. I was mean as a devil.
Yeah.
That's what I was. I fooled them.
Yeah.
Mean as a devil. Mean. Rotten to the core. Sweet. No. Some of y'all know what. Y'all know. I was sitting in there, brother. And I went because I respected her. And we slipped in a little late because I didn't want nobody to see me. And I sat back on the back right. And Rita motioned for it. She sat three rows from the back. And I thought, well, I'll at least do that. I went up there and sat with her. Mama and them didn't know I was coming. She stood up, said, "Whoa!" I said, "These people are crazy." Now I'm part of them, I like it. But at the time, I thought, these people crazy. You're supposed to be quiet in church. You're supposed to snore in church. You're supposed to go sleep in church. You know, you're supposed to go to church, do your little thing, go out and cuss. I mean, that's just what I thought. I've seen it done all my life. Shake a preacher's hand, eat a little Lord's Supper, get baptized, pat you on the back, go on, do your own thing, sin like a devil, come back to church, play church, live one way behind closed doors. Preach, oh, preacher, you nailing it down. Amen. Thank God. Are y'all with me? That's what I seen. But man, I went to church that day. And I got a good look at how sinful I was. I got a good look at how lovely he was. I got a good look at how true them scriptures was. I'd seen how wicked I was. That man preached on everything, and I thought, somebody done told on me.
Yeah.
I ain't never told nobody the things. How does he know that? The Holy Ghost told on me. I'm telling you, that day, I remember sitting there, God under such deep conviction. He preached on eating and drinking the Lord's Supper unworthily. And I joined the church at 12 years old because I got sick and tired of the plate passing me. And I'd never told nobody that. And the Holy Ghost said, "Yeah, he's a ringing your bell." And I thought, oh my God, these people crazy. And I'm getting down here. And I didn't get saved, but I'm glad, thank God, the next Sunday, he cracked the door open. I'm glad, thank God. I said, "Lord, if you'll just give me one more chance. If you'll just let me slide in the door." I don't understand everything that happened. All I know is I was empty. And I saw the cross empty. And I realized that cross was mine. But I never was nailed to it. He was nailed to it for my sake. He was the lamb provided for my sacrifice. He paid my debt. Then I found out he's buried. Then I found out he rose. And then I found out that I could get saved and become a new creature and be changed. Brother, I don't even know what I said. I know I did some saying. I probably told the Lord every sin I ever did, as if he didn't know. And I remember I got up, and I couldn't explain it, but I felt like somebody washed me from the inside out. And I couldn't explain it. But I automatically hated alcohol.
Yeah, man, bro. Go ahead.
I didn't want. I ain't going to tell y'all the rest of it. I didn't want that. I didn't want to go smoke. Didn't want to go do nothing. All of a sudden, I wanted to be at church. When we having church next? I found out we was having church on Wednesday. Yeah. I said, "I'm a going." It went along. We had a cleaning at the church. I didn't know no different. I said, "I'll pressure wash the steeple." That was a rough job. I literally, you can call my pastor, Darrell Pruitt, I pressure washed the steeple. But while I was up there, I've done some serious praying. And I mean, I got a hold of that steeple, and I remember thinking, "God, you saved." Then we got down, brother, on the creek bank. There was this old rock, and nobody knew it was there. We got to cleaning the briars out, and there was a prayer rock there. And we started praying on it. And I remember thinking to myself, that's what happened. It's as if the Lord was schooling me through that cleaning. And he said, "This is what happened. You had a bunch of junk on your life, and I cleaned off a place for you to scooch up next to me. And I ripped the weeds out of your life. I made you a brand new creature. I knew something had happened. I knew something took place." Because, Brother Linder, I didn't want the things I used to want, and I wanted things that I used to not want. You say, when they got the word from the angels, the messengers, "Fear not, go tell." The Bible said they went.
But the Bible said they went with some joy. And I had some. But I still had a little bit of fear. Now, y'all remember when Lazarus came out of the tomb? Is there any doubt that he was alive? I ain't trying to be funny, but it's the truth. How did he come out? He's bound, and he's he's wound up, and his feet's bound up. Best thing to do is shuffle. I don't know how he done it. I tell you what I think. I think the Holy Ghost put one of them Gatlinburg Aquarium slides on him, and it just, are y'all following me? Y'all know what I'm talking, them airports. I mean, you're moving, but you don't know how. And Lazarus is come. And what did the Lord say? He could have removed him. But he said, loose him. He told, they wound him up. Right. They, great God, him. Hey, some people bound up by what other people's put on you, and you won't shout for God, and you can't complain because you bound up, and you won't say amen, and you won't tell nobody, and you won't walk for God because you bound, and you won't work for God because you bound up. I tell you what we are, I want to do today is just loose you. Hey, the empty tomb cries, freedom! You're not bound no more. Worship God. Some of you visitors have figured out I'm a Baptist. I don't know what I am except saved. I know that. You know what I believe, brother? I acted crazy for the devil. And I didn't care what nobody thought about me. Why is it that pride beats us up once we get saved? And we're bound up. I mean, I'm not, some of you saved, but you're still bound up, wrapped up. Loosen, y'all. Won't you loose that wife of yours and tell her, go ahead, brag on him, honey. I tell you what, I was bad dude when I was lost. If y'all ever went swimming in the river, now y'all young people don't do that today, do you? Tyler, you go swimming in the river, wouldn't you? Amen. Anybody want to go river swimming? Because I'm just going to give you forewarning. If you go with me and you get close to the edge, I'm going to push you in. I was bad about it then, and I'm bad about it now. If I see you get next to the river and the deep waters of God, I'm going to loose you. I'm going to loose your feet from the bank and push you in. Are you, you need to loose that husband. Tell him, go ahead, baby. I'll back you. You serve God. Lead on, honey. I'll follow behind you. Some of you need to tell young people, sing on with them other young people. I'm going to loose you, baby. Turn loose. Tell people about God. Empty man cries fallen. Fear. Fear not, he's not here. But they still had a little fear. So the Bible said while they went, now here's why a lot of people don't see God, and I'm closing soon. Jacob, you come on. Here's why a lot of people don't really run into God. It's because when they got saved, they just stood still. But as they went, Jesus met them. You know how you'll run into Jesus, get to going. All through the gospel, it's go, 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 go. The last two verses, go, go, go. Jesus told them what he made. He met them again. Now when they touched Jesus, woo, it was on. He said, now that you touched me, I'm gonna remind you. The angels done told you, fear not. Now I'm going to get down in there in the intimate part, different word, be not afraid. I'm going to get down there in the recesses when ain't nobody around. Be not afraid, Jared. It's a personal term. I'm talking not just to the group, but I'm talking to you individually. Be not afraid. And it never says from that point on that they had any fear when they went. I say glory to God. You've been loose. The empty cross, forgiveness. The empty tomb, cross. Freedom. You're free today. I'm telling you, serve God. Live for God. Love on God. Let God be the all in all of your life. I want to ask you a question while we stand. I'm talking to Christians first.
Christian, are you going to let people bind you up? Or are you going to walk in freedom? Don't let them throw up your past in your face. You've been loosed. Don't let nobody bind you up. We've all been a mess since we've been saved. My God. If we had to do anything to get saved, we'd have never got saved. And if we have to do stuff to keep ourselves saved, we'd be lost every other minute. I'm so glad it's God that initiates it. And the Bible said we are kept by faith.